Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios for Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney and Ashley Docking here with you as we welcome you into our battle to decide which was the more famous Alanis Morissette title before the show. That's what we were doing. What do you think?
True.
What do you like more, You Ought to Know or Jagged Little Pill?
One hand in my pocket.
So you ought... Wait.
That's an actual song.
That's not the name of the song.
Is it not?
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't matter. I'm all flustered now.
This is not Alanis Morissette fantasy tribute or trivia. Can we start the show again? Roll the bumper. No, I'm just joking. Welcome inside the show, guys. We have a great guest in Howard Bender. He's going to save the day and bring us all back to where we need to be. He's with Fantasy Alarm. We're going to talk about some of the more surprising plays, I guess you could say. I have a feeling Colin Kaepernick really screwed a lot of people over this weekend if they were using him as a streaming option or a flyer this week in fantasy.
Yeah,
so we're going to talk about that to see if that was more of a one-off situation or if you can trust him going forward the rest of the way. We're going to talk about some tight ends who really ruled the targets this week.
They
were some really, really impressive performances. But first, let's talk about Julio Jones, Chris, because he was in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, he was.
He had a lower body injury.
Yeah, it's like a foot. People call it, it's like a hockey thing. They say lower body,
LBI.
Upper body, but everybody else knows really what it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry too much about Julio. You know, the fact that, you know, he sat out the final drive was certainly concerning. Yeah, he's fine. He's going to play. The reason why I kind of wanted to talk about him, bring him up, is just maybe from a DFS standpoint, you have him, you're playing him, it's Julio, you spent a first-round pick on him. Don't worry about him altogether. But the schedule, I mean, it's okay, too. LA, San Fran, Carolina. Those are some pretty good matchups for him going forward. But just from a DFS standpoint, because I'm hearing everyone in the office, I'm seeing everyone on Twitter yesterday, it's like, Julio, I mean, you see the first drive, he gets targeted like a monster.
Yep.
Yards, everything. And then he's just quiet. They stop going to him. And it's just from a DFS standpoint, I don't know how many times I've seen this guy over the past couple seasons really sit out the final drive or the fourth quarter, just dinged up, not 100%, and he always brushes it off after. Again, on Twitter, everyone crying and complaining there's no Julio in the final drive. Just keep an eye on that moving forward. He's fine, but when you're going to spend up at a wide receiver, maybe spend up on somebody who's not on the sidelines every other game.
And with Mohamed Sanu having a groin injury on top of the things that he's dealt with already, ankle, shoulder, elbow, really... Taylor Gabriel, who we've been talking about last week, is someone who could be a viable option for you in that offense.
Yeah.
He was 5 of 6 for 44 yards. Doug Martin sat out the final three drives versus San Diego because he bent his back. His back is broken.
Yeah.
It was such a weird way to put it. Anyway, he was injured. I don't think that means anything going forward. Playing New Orleans twice, Dallas once for the rest of your fantasy playoffs, four season-long leagues. Just to be clear, though, Charles Sims is returning off the IR. He returned to practice last week, so that could change the flow of the game, but Doug Martin is still a viable offensive option.
Yeah, Sims should be picked up. This guy's going to, you know, cut into Martin's work. He's going to catch some balls. Jaquizz Rodgers stepped in there, and he did okay. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, Jaquizz is stealing from Martin. Well, it turns out Martin, as you said, had the bent back, so he was fine. But Jaquizz Rodgers, he should be picked up, too. He shouldn't be hanging on your waiver wire just in case Martin gets hurt again or, you know, Sims comes back and has a setback. And then, you know, if Rodgers is playing the Saints come week 16 and you're in the Fantasy Football Championship, see, this guy becomes an automatic start. If there's no Martin, there's no Sims. So just keep an eye on that situation. Both of those guys should be rostered.
And a nice welcome back for Tampa, who are in the midst of the whole playoff situation. So good to have all these guys back because they were
Atlanta lost, Tampa wins
for a long time in their backfield. Jameson Crowder was pretty
good. Hit pointer.
He has a hit pointer, but he'll be fine. He finished the game.
Yeah.
3 for 42 yards and a touchdown. He also almost had another really big gain up the middle in the game-ending drive where Kirk Cousins ended up throwing an interception. The pass was way, way behind Crowder, but his numbers could have been bolstered a little bit on that. But you know that Kirk Cousins is throwing 37 passes in that offense last week, so Crowder is someone that's going to be valuable. Vernon Davis was great as well, 5 of 6, 47 yards.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are fantastic from Crowder this season, as you see there. But wide receiver 15 on the year, he's had double-digit fantasy points every single week but one, and it happened to be week 14 or week 4 against... the Cleveland Browns for whatever reason. He couldn't get it done. It was a long time ago. But yeah, just keep an eye on Crowder. Probably not going to practice a lot this week, be limited, but he's fine. He's got a nice schedule coming up too. There's a lot to like about him, and he's probably the waiver wire, one of the waiver wire MVPs of the season.
Absolutely.
I can't really think of anybody else who's been so that productive, or nobody wanted to give this guy credit at all. In a tough matchup yesterday, you got Honey Badger, you got Patrick Peterson. These guys are moving around. Crowder didn't have a fantastic line. 8 targets, only 3 grabs. But as you said, Ashley, he was able to find the end zone and score a touchdown.
Saved the day. Steven Adams, switching to the NBA, by the way. Steven Adams, who was supposed to be this huge breakout star this year. Everyone was touting him like, this is going to be his year. Yeah. Has kind of been overshadowed by Enes Kanter on a lot of instances. But he sprained his ankle, his left ankle. Something he hurt before, but it was his right ankle.
So it's a different ankle from preseason.
His other side, yeah.
That's good news.
That is good news, but it's not good news if you own him or if you drafted him. He's going to be out. Should be considered questionable tonight against Atlanta.
Yeah, so we left last night's game. This is actually good news if you're an Enes Kanter owner, because he's been extremely frustrating to own. I have him in a couple leagues, and I want to drop him, but I just don't drop him because of the name value, and I know what he can do if he gets the minutes. Only 3 times this year, Ashley, he's played over 25 minutes. 2 of the last 3 games, he's played over 25 minutes, and he's had monster games from Enes Kanter. You see 17-10 last night when he played 29 minutes. 3 games ago, he against the Knicks, he played 28 minutes, 27-10. This is a guy who's, you see the numbers, he's averaging 13-6. That's clearly not good enough. He needs to get more playing time, but as I said, he's not finding the floor. So without Adams, if Adams misses some time, Kanter becomes a great DFS play because his price is low.
No-brainer,
because nobody
really
wants to trust him.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some people have cut their ties and dropped him. I wouldn't do that yet. I have to admit, I'm thinking about it, but with Adams out of the lineup and Kanter coming back, that's good news. He's not great defensively, and that's why he doesn't play.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw against the Warriors this year, he played like 2 minutes. And he was trying to
chirp
Kevin Durant. So,
and quickly,
just keep an eye on
just
it.
Came down, Rajon Rondo has been suspended by the Bulls for 1 game for conduct detrimental to the team. So in their game
not
tonight,
surprised.
Dialef, Jimmy Butler, maybe even consider Isaiah Cannon if you want a cheap option. He's played over 20 minutes the last 2 games. So just something to mention quickly.
Yeah, and then just a couple of hockey things.
Yeah.
Home Ice Advantage, which you're a part of, brought to you by Molson and Boston Pizza Fan Draft, which will air today, Monday at 5 o'clock Eastern. But we'll talk some more hockey. But just want a couple names, because they're big names. Jonathan Toews, he tried to skate over the weekend, and now Joe Quenneville is saying that they're just going to give him a few days off. It's not getting any worse, but he's not getting any better, his back injury. So that's a big time concerning. And then Mark Scheifele was ruled out of Saturday's game and yesterday's game against the Blackhawks, dealing with a lower body injury. He's been fantastic, actually. He's got like a point per game this season.
26.
He's been just unbelievably awesome. But just a couple guys to keep an eye on. Sam Reinhart, we talked about before with Jack Eichel. He's been doing a lot of great things since he's been back. 4 games since Eichel's been back, he's got a point in all of those games. You see Reinhart 4 points in 3 games, 7 points in his last 6, getting it done. And then go ahead and pick up Brian Little, because Little is playing with Ehlers and Patrick Laine. And that's who you want him to play with, Ashley. And ever since he's been back in the lineup, 4 games since returning from an injury, 4 points, 3 goals, 1 on the power play, 9 shots, and 42 faceoff wins.
And welcome back, Johnny Gaudreau. 2 points in his return.
Flames are rolling. They scored like 7 goals.
Rolling.
8 goals last night.
Yeah. We're going to be rolling on, and we're going to get joined by Howard Bender. We're going to get joined by him, and I'm going to work on my vocabulary. We'll be back on FST. Okay. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you, and it's time to be joined by one of our favorites. Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm joins us now to talk some NFL. Hello, sir. How's it going?
Oh, not bad. I'm a little run down, a little tired here. I spent all night consoling a very, very depressed wife who missed the fantasy playoffs because of Drew Brees.
Oh, no.
Wow. Drew Brees carried her so far, and then when everyone thinks Drew Brees is going to have a great game at home, safest quarterback ever, he was very disappointing.
Dropped her off the shelf. It was absolutely brutal.
Well,
brutal.
He wasn't as worse as Colin Kaepernick.
Nobody's ever as worse as Colin Kaepernick. I don't understand how people put their faith into this guy. I've been screaming incessantly all week long, do not put Colin Kaepernick in if you are, if you need a playoff spot. Like, if you're fighting for the playoffs, Colin Kaepernick this week was not the answer for you. And everybody just turned to me and said, well, you obviously haven't been watching him for the last couple of weeks. Oh, yeah. I was, and I've been watching him his entire career. The guy is a disaster. He's a terrible quarterback. He doesn't see the field. And, you know, even if you were hoping for garbage time with the Bears going up, well, the weather took care of that for you. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't know that it was supposed to be lousy weather, well, then you're not doing your job as a fantasy owner.
Yeah, only six dropbacks, pressured five times. So what, the rest of the year now, we're just dumping him off to the side? He was QB2 over the past 4 weeks before yesterday. Now, I guess if you're in the playoffs with him, you don't feel like he's safe to start?
Well, I never feel like he's safe to start because, A, he's not a good quarterback. B, he doesn't have a strong receiving core. Mm. And C, you just don't know what to expect from him on any given day. The problem is that he's completely matchup-based. And if you looked at the games that he did perform well in, it was all a game flow situation. It was a situation where he was forced to pass. He was forced to chuck the ball around. He was against defenses that didn't have fast linebackers or fast linemen, so he was able to run and kind of get away from things. But the problem is for Kaepernick is that he's still very, very limited, and he'll look downfield, and if his number one receiving target isn't open, then he panics. He either throws it away or he tries to run the ball himself. And as we saw on Sunday, the Bears just had every lane closed down for him completely.
And who knows who that number one receiving target really is in San
Fran. I was just going to say, number one is a really strong title to award to someone in San Francisco. You mentioned Drew Brees off the top, and although he didn't throw the touchdown, the first time that he hasn't thrown one at home since 2009, his day still wasn't that terrible. 31 of 44 for 320 plus yards in the air, I believe it was, right?
Yeah, threw some picks,
but other than that, the yardage was okay. So this is the situation where we're going to get this all the time, and Chris always gets questions. One person has an off week and they're like completely off the guy forever, but this is not the case with Drew Brees, I would imagine.
He's on the road this week.
He is on the road this week, but listen, you know, no, you can't be off Drew Brees forever. I mean, Drew Brees is a fantastic quarterback. It just so happens that coming into this game, Drew Brees was averaging 357 yards and three touchdowns at home. Mm-hmm. And that was including one lousy performance against the Seahawks where he threw for 265 and won. The problem is, though, is that people are talking about this 300-yard performance, and it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Really? Because in all honesty, 326 yards in standard fantasy scoring, when you penalize for interceptions, really amounts to 175 yards. Okay, so he had 7 points, which is 25 yards per point or whatever, and then three picks. So it immediately knocks that down. So no, I don't care unless you're talking about a league where you get a 3 or 5 point bonus for throwing over 500 yards or 300 yards. You're looking at a lousy, lousy day.
Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals backfield for a little bit. Rex Burkhead was somebody that people were talking about a lot, but I just don't understand the hate for Jeremy Hill. So he's got 27 rushing touchdowns since he came in the league in 2014. That's tied for first in the league with DeMarco Murray. Nobody has more rushing touchdowns than him over that span. When he fumbles, he gets benched. He had 23 carries for 33 yards, scored a touchdown. Rex Burkhead fumbled the ball in the fourth quarter, and yet he was still playing that entire fourth quarter. Hill came in a little bit. The snap count went 37 to 27 in favor of Hill, but Burkhead had the better numbers. Like, what's going on here in Cincinnati? Is they just don't like Jeremy Hill for whatever reason? And can you trust, like, starting him every single week?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, 23 carries for 33 yards. Peyton Hillis was actually better than that. And that guy would just fall forward. He wouldn't even run. He would just fall forward. The problem is that everybody just expected that once Giovanni Bernard went down, Jeremy Hill was going to get all the touches. Not even remotely the case, and it hasn't been the case for a number of years now. It's very obvious that the Cincinnati coaching staff doesn't believe that Jeremy Hill is an every down back. They don't believe that he can handle the full load, and so he's always going to have some sort of a complimentary running back with him. So no Giovanni Bernard, yes Rex Burkhead. So you're going to continue to see Burkhead getting carries. You're going to continue seeing him in a lot of pass blocking situations. He's basically just going to fill the Giovanni Bernard role, which again leaves Jeremy Hill exactly where he was at the start of the season. He is a timeshare running back who does a good job between the tackles. He does well at short yardage, but the staff just doesn't have the faith in him to go the entire way.
Because 2 weeks ago, he had 6 catches, and that's why everyone liked Hill. It's like he's cheap on DFS. Let's roll him out there. He only gets a couple catches. Burkhead gets 5 targets and 4 receptions.
Howard, do you think it's time to just kind of cut the talk where it's a running back by committee in what was the Gio Bernard and the Jeremy Hill situation? Not because they're both good, they can't decide between the two, but because neither one is the guy that you want to be a workhorse, as you mentioned.
That's exactly the case right there. It's neither one is the guy who can really take that lead role, and we're seeing this in a lot of places. Houston's seeing it in Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is completely broken down here towards the end of the season after being their lead dog for, you know, the whole beginning of the year. He was getting, you know, 20 carries a game, and everybody was wondering, can Lamar Miller handle that kind of a role? We've seen now that he can't. So even when you're talking about, you know, guys like Jeremy Hill in Cincinnati, you want to talk about Kenneth Dixon or Terrence West in Baltimore, mm-hmm. any of these situations where you've got a tandem backfield, it means that the coaching staff is not comfortable with using either of these guys in a lead role. And you have to account for that when you're talking about, you know, drafting anybody in fantasy.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to talk about Thomas Rawls. We want to get to some waiver wire guys, some wide receivers who kind of showed up last week, Ashley, that's kind of, we thought, maybe 1 week thing. But they kind of showed up again this week. Ted Ginn Jr. had a big week. Last week he had his longest reception ever. You're smiling over there. But in 2 games, he's got over 150 yards. He's got a couple touchdowns. Brendan LaFell showed up last night. And then Bellamy showed up for Joshua for Chicago.
Joshua.
And he dropped a ton of balls again yesterday. Wasn't helping out Matt Barkley, but his any of these wide receivers jump out at you? Is this like somebody who can trust first week of playoffs?
I would rather have Ralph Bellamy playing wide receiver for me than having Bill Bellamy, Josh Bellamy. Who is this guy? He's terrible. He's like a poor man Sammy Coates.
Do you not care about volume at all? 15 targets, 8 receptions, 130 yards in 2 games.
Okay, well, let's talk about Marquez Wilson then, who had 13 targets last week, and what happened to him? It's a game flow situation here, and you know, listen, Matt, nobody expected Matt Barkley to pass the ball, you know, 54 times again, you know, this week. So to sit there and think that Marquez Wilson was going to do it again, it's a different, you know, it doesn't work. Now, you want to talk about a guy like Ted Ginn? Okay, you know, listen, he's a favorite of Cam Newton's, Cam who's struggling mightily right now, and there are problems with Kelvin Benjamin. So maybe Ted Ginn can kind of help you out as a wide receiver 3, but are you really going to put your fantasy playoff life on the line for some of these guys? You know, do you remember, was it like week 3, week 4? We were like, oh, Cam Meredith, he's going to be the best. He's amazing. We love him so much. Where did he go? So the problem that you have with a lot of these wide receivers right now is that you just don't know what to do with these guys. You know, it's hit or miss. It's boom or bust. 1 week they're going to be seeing all the targets. The next week they're not going to. Once defensive backs start honing in on who the quarterback's favorite is, well, they're going to immediately try to take that away.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, look at Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Everybody was all over Tyreek Hill this week and thinking that this guy was going to be the be-all, end-all. Well, who's smiling now? Yeah. Albert Wilson?
Yeah, lowest snap count in like 5 weeks for Tyreek Hill yesterday.
Yeah, there's a reason that these guys aren't the elite running or wide receivers that you're drafting. And so you're right, when they get paired up with a bad defensive matchup, it's real trouble. We're going to get out of here in about 30 seconds, but we do want to talk about Thomas Rawls. We were talking about the running back by committee, and earlier it was Christine Michael. See you later, Christine. Then it was CJ Procise. But Thomas Rawls had a huge game, 15 carries for 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. Is he a running back 1 going forward?
He is a running back 1 going forward so long as he survives concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Because nobody was reporting that too heavily yesterday, but he got taken back to the locker room, never came back. Obviously, it was a blowout. If Thomas Rawls moving forward is cleared, yes, definitely a running back 1. There's nobody in that backfield that should be sharing with him.
And nice to see Tyler Lockett show up finally for everyone who drafted him extremely high. Maybe they made the playoffs with him yesterday. Who knows?
He was probably on your bench.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you say Tyler Marquez Wilson Lockett? Is that who you just said?
First name Albert. Yeah.
All right. We appreciate you.
We got to go, Howie, but we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right, guys, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to be here.
Take care.
Right, take care.
Bye. All right, moving on, we got to go into targets and touches and an interesting trend developing. A lot of tight ends getting in on the action. We'll elaborate on that for you in just a little while. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We talk a lot about how important it is to monitor players who are tops in targets on their team because that equals opportunity, which yes. equals a higher potential for fantasy value and a weird tight end situation that's been developing. So five tight ends among the top 15 receivers in week 13 in terms of yards. And this is a look at the targets board, and the trend obviously is carrying over some of the tight ends here, a ton of targets.
Well, it's just very interesting because, well, we lost Gronk for the year. Jordan Reed, I mean, I know the guy's a beast, but he's in and out of the lineup.
Injured.
He loves being injured. He probably actually does not, but he's always hurt. So there's a lot of tight ends that kind of, you know, Dennis Pitta showed up, he got hurt. You know, I just want to start with Zach Ertz because I feel like he's now owned because he's had, you know, 47 targets in the last 4 weeks. That's the most out of any tight end. He's got over 300 yards. It's the second most. He's got two touchdowns. That's the third most. So he's really been productive after being very disappointing in the first few. Look at the yards, 452. He's basically got that in the last four games. Crazy. But for Zach Ertz going up against Washington this week, so last year in December against Washington, and I don't know if this means anything, but Matthews is dealing with an ankle injury. He may not play. Dorial Green-Beckham looked like he cracked his ribs. He may not play. So the only person that can catch balls in Philadelphia right now is Zach Ertz. Even though Carson Wentz had a catch yesterday, he got his pass blocked down and he caught it. But Ertz is a guy in December of last season, 17 targets, 13 catches, 122 yards. The year before that, in December against Washington, 18 targets, 15 receptions, 115 yards. So 231 yards, 35 targets, and 28 catches in Washington in two games in December. Now he's got Washington just, like, ironic that he's got Washington again.
Is that you're bringing it back to Alanis?
right back to that for some reason. But, yeah, so he has Washington, and all of those guys are hurt. So I think now if, for whatever reason, if he is hanging on your waiver wire or you want a guy in DFS, I think it's a guy who's going to get double-digit targets and probably double-digit catches because nobody else is there. They have no run game. And there was a lot of flack about, you know, Wentz not looking great. And his comment was, listen, we're going to throw the ball 50, 60 times a game. I'm going to make some incompletions. And that's what they're doing because they have no run game. So big up to Zach Ertz.
Big
ups.
Oh, I thought you were, like, giving him big ups. Like,
yeah,
you know,
give him
bigging
some.
Him up.
Sure.
Shout out. Big up to Cameron Brate. Six catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. Adam Humphries, concussion. He gone.
Yes.
All right. And then Cecil Shorts, just absolutely demolished.
Another,
I don't know if you guys saw
that
hit.
Another guy who loves injuries.
He tore all his CLs. Everything in his knee, dislocated his knee. He's done for the season. People talking about if he'll even return to the NFL at all. What does that mean? Well, it means Cameron Brate just became a whole lot more valuable in that offense.
Absolutely, because a lot of people focus on Evans, and you already mentioned Tampa Bay has the Saints twice in the playoff time.
Exactly.
He's got touchdowns in four of his last six games. A lot of people kind of shrug their shoulders about Brate, but I think it's somebody that you can start with confidence, especially in these matchups moving forward. Four touchdowns in his last six. He's highly owned, but there's a couple other people. CJ Fedorowicz, which we can get to, 40% ownership. He's got fantasy double-digit fantasy points in six of his last nine contests. A lot of people want to trust him, but listen, Brock Osweiler is not good. He can only throw 5 feet ahead of him. So Indy, Jacksonville, and Cincy. Hopkins finally got a touchdown, but it was near the end.
Yeah.
And then Ladarius Green is probably the guy who's actually available on your waiver wire. A very encouraging stuff from him yesterday against the Giants, who get eat up a lot in the slot. We've seen this just a lot. So you can pick on the Giants in the slot. Ladarius Green, 23% ownership. His last two games, 67 yards. Yesterday, 11 targets, 6 catches, 110 yards. He's got Cincy, Baltimore, and Cleveland coming. Jesse James is still playing more snaps than him, Ashley. That's concerning. But I think you can play him with confidence. Ladarius Green, you feeling
him? No,
one thing I know about Big Ben and seeing him over the past few years is, yes, he's got the bees around him, you know, the three killer bees, including himself, but he loved Heath Miller. He always threw to Heath Miller. In the red zone, he targeted him. 5-10 yards up the field, he targeted him. He was always a guy who got double-digit targets, so he takes that Heath Miller role. Ladarius Green is certainly trending upwards. We waited, Ashley, so long for this guy. Finally, he could win you a fantasy football championship.
And we talked about Dennis Pitta just briefly, 9 for 9, two touchdowns. Did you see his press conference? The reporter was like, yeah, you know, a lot of people really counted you out, but look at you now. And he's like, thanks a lot, man.
So he's a guy I wouldn't trust, but that was a big game from him yesterday.
We'll be back. Trust us. Promise. We'll be back tomorrow.
See you later.
See ya.